matter how much I may know how close I am to God, there are times in my life that I struggle with stuff. And I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm just a human being working at being holier and being better for God. Now y'all pray for me that I can get to y'all's level. Those of y'all who can look down your nose and try to pretend as though you don't know what it's like to have a runny nose. And I know many of y'all graduated with Moses. I know many of you all that when you all ate the fruit, had a fruit salad with Adam and Eve. I understand that many of you graduated with Joshua as he crossed over the Jordan River. But I want to talk about two or three people who don't mind meeting with the preacher today, that there are times in our lives that we struggle with stuff. That sometimes life just does not feel good. There are times, brothers and sisters, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there are times it feels like life just grabs the rug right from under your feet. There are times when your world gets shaped, your world gets rocked, and things happen that you were not prepared for. Amen. Is anybody in the church don't mind admitting that you are frustrated sometimes? That sometimes you get frustrated. No, I didn't say get perturbed. I say there are times in your life that you are Holy Ghost filled, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but there are times you get frustrated. Sometimes if you, whatever nerve you had left, that's already gone. Because life has a way of throwing you some curveballs, and you didn't even know you were up to bat. You did not know that it was your turn to deal with this circumstance. You did not know that you had to go through this. Oh, you don't even bother nobody, and people won't leave you alone. You mind your business, but your business don't want to mind you. That every time you turn around, there's always something. When it rains, it pours. Big Mama say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That life sometimes has a way of giving you some struggles. And if you can't handle it, you will submerge and you will drown in a mist of misery. You will drown in a sea of contempt. You will drown and you will let circumstances engulf you. If you're not careful, you will even show up to church with a frown on your face. You will show up in God's house and won't lift your hand because frustration has overtaken your faith. And I believe I got a sneaking suspicion this morning that I'm looking at a few people who've let their frustrations cover their faith. I don't want to praise no more. I'm not shouting no more. I'm just trying to make it. And it is a ploy of the enemy to rob you of that which he knows you have and you don't even know you have. See, if you really knew how blessed you are, you wouldn't even let the devil bother you. And it's a shame. You know what's really troubling for me today is that the devil knows how blessed you are more than you do. The devil knows more about what you got than you know. That's why the devil won't let you praise. That's why he keeps trying to come to your mind. That's why he messing with your intellect. That's why he bother your family. That's why he bother your money, because he know that's all your happiness is tied into. That's why he bother your knees. That's why he bother your back. That's why he bother your finances, because that's all you get happy about. But I need some broke folk who don't mind giving God praise. I need some hurting people who don't mind saying hallelujah, because I don't need stuff to give of God praise. I don't need all my I's dotted. I don't need all my T's crossed. Wait a minute. I can still be struggling and still be shouting. I can still be in pain and I can still give him praise. But you got to learn, brothers and sisters, how to struggle with stuff. And I know. Your preacher ain't stupid. I know. Preacher, what about all this going on? Come on now. What about it? Ain't you scared? No. What we gonna do? Live. You supposed to wash your hands anyway. You need the Center for Disease and Control to tell you to wash your hands. To use caution. You supposed to do that anyway. We're struggling. And worldwide, we're struggling. And I want to say this to you, and I know I'm on the air, and I know this may be getting me in a world of trouble even more than I'm already in. So I know, but I already know the Holy Ghost gonna hold your boy. Because watch this. Watch this. The enemy is making all us deep church folk who say we love the Lord out to be a bunch of frauds. Wait a minute. You've been hearing how just a few weeks ago you were taught, if you were here, about how to be a contagious Christian. And you got to be careful about what the enemy wants to do to destroy the church. See, he's telling the church, don't come together. Now, the book of Acts chapter 2 tells us what church really is. It's folk who come together. It's folks who touch. He don't want us to come together, don't want us to touch, and don't want us to testify. And look what the government, that's why I keep telling y'all, this country wasn't built on God. Because we reacted and did not respond. Here's my problem. You shut my life down behind a possibility. But when my young brothers kill each other, you ain't got nothing to say about that. Now it's everybody else's responsibility to deal with the drug problem. Now it's everybody else's responsibility to come help the issues with poverty. Now you mean tell me my grandmother got a struggle with her check. You can't intervene about her check and her bills and her heat and her gas, but you shut my life down behind what I don't even know is going to happen. It's a possibility Corona will give me a cough. But the actuality is young men are killing each other. And the government ain't got nothing to say about that. But you can come in and shut my life down. You can tell me I can't come praise Jesus. Because it's more than 250 people capacity. And you got to be careful. Tell them I said it. You got to be careful about letting the enemy. See, there was a day when government used to ask the church what to do in time of trouble. But now the church is asking government. Now, it's been flu season. And you ain't stopped living. And we're not informed enough yet to just say, stop living. And we went into a panic mode because we don't know how to struggle with stuff. And God will allow us to go through seasons of struggle to reveal just we're not there yet. Like we think we are. Because truth be told, y'all were waiting in country, Winfield, Louisiana. Y'all waiting on a text for somebody to tell y'all, don't come to church. You was waiting on me to send a text. In country, Winfield, Louisiana, where y'all don't, wait a minute. All the stuff you got before Corona. Bad hygiene before Corona. But because the government say we need to be what? Now you want Germex all over the church. If you go buy tissue, if you go buy paper towel, get your boy soap too. Because some of this ain't Corona, it's an aroma. got to be careful about what the enemy wants to do to disrupt the unity of the church. See, the devil ain't scared of no big church. He's scared of a united church. And so he doesn't want us to assemble. He didn't want us to touch. Because how can I lay hands on you? Everything we built on is with the laying of hands and with the fellowship and being close to each other. And he want to make me paranoid now about you. Now every time somebody sneeze. Some of y'all scared to cough right now because somebody gonna look at. You won't go blow your nose. You go outside to go blow your nose. Now look, here's my problem. It's pollen outside. And I already know this time of year, pollen's gonna get me. My allergies act up. I wish y'all would say I got some corona. I got allergies. Not gonna lie, say the preacher got corona. I got allergies. So if I happen to sneeze, I dare y'all say something about me. So you got to have some wisdom. And what you see with the big churches, y'all, they're doing that. I need to just say this to you. They're doing it because the government told them to. Wow. Amen. And Bible does tell us that we must obey the laws of the land. Yeah. Now, we don't have live streaming. I want to say that to us because we're so confused. We let social media tell us what to do. And we don't be connected to where we are. You done seen the potter's house do something, this ain't the potter's house. And really, if you're worrying about 250 people, I was at no point concerned about New Zion. I knew I might not can go to a ball game, I might not can go watch nothing on TV, but I know I can go to church. Because I ain't going to find 250 people go to church around here. I wasn't worried about that. And so Paul's telling us in Romans 8 here, listen to what God is saying to you, that you got to learn how to struggle, okay? But the struggle is not your end of your life. And we got to learn as a people how to handle life circumstances. Paul has been trying to teach a bunch of believers in Romans chapter 8 how to have victory no matter what's going on. Now, you're not going to like some stuff you see in Romans 8 unless you got true faith. Okay, he's told them at the end, where we left off last week, we told them, well, you got to live better, that if you partake in the suffering, you'll be able to partake in the glory. And so Paul goes through a series of discourse in verses 18 to 25. He's talking to these believers about the fact that they're waiting on glory. That what do you do between right now when you're saved and when the Lord comes back? You know you will have a glorified body. You know you will see his face. You know you will praise him. You know you'll be in his presence. But what do you do between now and then? And so he talks about how creation groans. He talks about how the children of God groan. He talks about the groan. It is a deep sigh. Is it actually a physical sigh or is it a spiritual just, Has anybody ever been there? When you get so frustrated with life, when life just happens to you so hard that you don't even know what to say, all you can do is say, ugh. I thought I was talking to real people. It's when you are dealing with life and life happens to you and you don't even have an answer for what happened to you. I thought I was going to talk to real people. Life is happening. Wait a minute. You're saved. Holy Ghost filled. Bought with a price. All that. Hallelujah. But life don't stop happening to you. And you got to figure out what do I do between now and when the Lord comes back. Because the Lord doesn't move every struggle. Oh, y'all don't like to hear preachers tell y'all this stuff. There's some stuff the Lord does not take from our lives. There's something that we got to learn how to trust the Lord with. That's good preaching, whether y'all said amen or not. There are some things that you've got to learn. You can rebuke it all you want. It's still there. You can deny his existence all you want, it's still there. And so Paul says, listen, there's a groan That creation groans because of life happening. That children of God groan. And it's okay for you to say sometimes, this hurts. This doesn't feel good. And some things, even as a Christian, ought to bother you. If I cut you, you ought to bleed. If not, I'm making money off of you. Because we've got to learn how to navigate through life and stop denying like life is happening. And stop coming to a church pretending like you ain't dealing with life. Because you don't know, we don't know the hell we've all gone through just to get to this point. Amen. And so Paul said there's a groan in the spirit that we all come about with. And so he talks about how do we handle this and make it what I'm struggling with stuff. Can I talk to it for a few moments? When you're struggling with stuff, here's what you got to understand. A couple things you got to understand. One, you need to understand that the comforter is present. That the comforter is present. In St. John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. I'm going to go die for the sins of humanity. I'm going to go die on the cross. He said, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave my comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shall be able to keep you, guide you, hold you. The Holy Ghost does not just make you shout. Holy Ghost just keeps you at peace. Holy Ghost keeps you from going crazy. Holy Ghost gives you comfort when you need it. Y'all, I love the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost gives you everything you need just when you need it. Holy Ghost will keep you happy when you want to be sad. It'll give you joy when you ought to be in sorrow. It'll give you peace when you're calamity. Do y'all ever want to know why some people see you in the midst of a storm and then they don't understand why you ain't pulling your hair out? It's because the Holy Ghost is present and the Comforter is there in your life. The Holy Spirit is present in the hearts of the believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you're saying right now, huh? But if you are a true believer, you appreciate the relevance and the reality of the Holy Ghost in your life. As a believer, the Holy Spirit is there. Look what he says in verse 26. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Y'all missed it. Likewise, while you're waiting on God, the Holy Spirit is helping you. Missed it. While you're waiting on your glory, the Holy Spirit is giving you a glimpse of the glory. While you're waiting on your change to come, the Holy Spirit is present even while you're waiting on the change. While you're waiting on the healing, the Holy Spirit is there, right there in you, giving you what you need to hold on and to hold tight till your change come. While you're waiting on the financial breakthrough, the Holy Spirit is giving you wisdom to know how to make a sandwich instead of a steak. So that in the meantime, while you're waiting on your change to come, the Holy Spirit is present. All right. Now, the reason you can't appreciate that is the same reason our country can't is because we never go to the spirit. We always go to reality. And you got to learn to have faith beyond the facts. The facts are what they are, but you can't go in your flesh just cause stuff go wrong. You got to stop going to what's normal just cause stuff go wrong. Stop going to what's natural just cause stuff ain't your way. Stop pouting just cause it don't go your way. Stop shutting down just because it don't go your way. How about somebody, three or four of us, learn how to go to the spirit when life happens to us? Because the Spirit is available to help you and assist you no matter what. You know what I believe? You know what I believe? I believe the same Spirit is available to you on the valley as it is in the mountaintop. And I argue further that you don't know true religion, you don't know true walk with God till you've been through some storms. Anybody can praise God when I got it right. Anybody can give God glory when I got money. Anybody can smile when I got a man. Anybody can smile when I got a woman. But how about when you get broke? How about when you're divorced? How about when you're heartbroken? How about when you don't get what you need? How about when you're in bankruptcy? How about when you're in foreclosure? How about when you're laid off? How about when you got cancer? How about when you've been talked about? How about when you got diabetes? Can you still give God glory? And stop letting your circumstance make you act like the Holy Spirit ain't there. The Holy Spirit is with you at all times. On your worst day, he's still there. On your best day, he's still there. Somebody tell the Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost. And the reason why we're struggling right now is because we don't appreciate the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when you are saved, you have a measure of it. But now it's our responsibility to open the door of our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to come and take root and have domicile and dwelling in our hearts. Stop just letting them stay at the door. Stop just letting them in the living room and let them all the way in the home of your heart and let them have rule and let him share with you. Let him heal that brokenness. I bet you if you let the Holy Ghost heal you, you wouldn't need some drugs. If you let the Holy Spirit minister you, you wouldn't need some alcohol. If you let the Holy Spirit help you and guide you, it's some people you wouldn't need around. I dare somebody to let the Holy Spirit be active in your life. And you don't have to shout on Sunday morning. You can shout Tuesday evening. When the Holy Spirit ain't just a Sunday morning thing, the Holy Spirit is an everyday thing. And you can handle this struggle you're in with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Look what Paul said. He said, likewise. Yeah, you got that going on, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Now, you ain't going to appreciate help because help here means, it means to be a para. Here it is. Here's where you got to grow up and be a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit is not designed to remove your problem. The Holy Spirit is designed to help you handle your problem. So everything you're going through, you ain't going through it by yourself. You got some help. The only reason you can take a licking and keep on ticking is because the Holy Spirit is helping you carry it. You are not by yourself. You are not sick by yourself. You are not broke by yourself. You ought to tell God thank you right now that the Holy Ghost is helping you handle it. Glory. Glory. Yeah. This for true believers. This for true believers now. This for true believers. Because we believe that if I can just say it, it'll leave. But in this instance, the Holy Spirit is present in your life to help you carry the load. Because let me bless you real quick. If the Holy Spirit wasn't helping you, you'd been died already. You already been lost your mind. You already been in the ditch somewhere. Wait a minute. I want to talk to real folk. I want to talk about, think about your life real quick. Think about what you've been through the last 6 months. Think about what you've been through the last 10 years. And you mean to tell me ain't no Holy Ghost? You mean to tell me God ain't irrelevant in your life? You mean to tell me God ain't keeping you? It ain't your smarts. It ain't your ability. It ain't your talent. It's the Holy Ghost helping you carry it. Because the problem is all you can see is your area. Amen. And all this time you thought you've been trying to do it. And the Holy Spirit wanted to help you, but you won't let the Holy Spirit help you. Because we want to be able to say, I did it. But there is no such thing as a self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made woman. It had to be the Holy Spirit. And if your truth be told, the only reason you're standing right now is because the Holy Spirit standing up in you. Because your heart is broken. Your mind is perplexed. Your feelings are hurt. Your life is in shambles. But the only thing got you in God's house on a Sunday morning is the aid and the assistance of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. That's it. Ain't nothing to brag about. It's the Holy Ghost. Ain't nothing to be pompous about. It's the Holy Ghost. But the problem is, we went to a committee, not the Holy Ghost. We went to Congress, not the Holy Ghost. We went to a board meeting, not the Holy Ghost. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. We go everywhere else outside instead of tapping to what's on the inside. How much trouble could you have avoided if you just would have listened to the Holy Spirit? who's there available to help you. But because you want to remove the symptoms, you don't want to be healed. Amen. You just don't want to deal with symptoms. But the Holy Spirit comes to help you. He comes to help you in your infirmities, Paul says. And your infirmities, in other words, everything you're dealing with. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Holy Ghost can't help you deal with it if you won't admit that you're dealing with it. Because everybody in this room is dealing with something.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
All of us are dealing with something. Got all dressed up to cover fear. All dressed up to cover insecurity. All dressed up to cover sin. All dressed up to cover bad conditions. All dressed up to cover mental confusion. All dressed up to cover addiction. All dressed up to cover malice and envy and hatred. All dressed up to cover a hurt heart from years ago. Here's how I know we ain't letting the Spirit help us, because we done developed salt, thin skin, and a thick heart. But if you're really getting it like God say get it, and you're letting the Holy Ghost help you, you get thick skin and a soft heart. That you don't let life affect your heart. And we'll start letting this stuff be called wisdom. Being irritable and being contrary and being grouchy and not having a kind word, not being tenderhearted, not having any kind of sensitivity, not having any kind of patience, can't ever stand nothing. That's not the character of a Holy Spirit Christian. And we're hiding behind saying, I'm just being real. But the Holy Spirit is available. I know y'all mad now, man. I know y'all mad now. Because look here. And have I yet, can I shout myself? I have yet to mention a preacher. Y'all keep looking for a preacher to give you the help. The preacher needs the same help you need. All I can show you is God's word. All I can show you is the Holy Spirit. And he's there to comfort you. Likewise, the Spirit helps. Look at it good. Does not say the Spirit removes your infirmity. He helps you with. Why do I got to deal with it? Because he just told you that in early in chapter 8. He said, likewise, if you can partake of suffering, you partake in glory. No guts, no glory. And I serve a God who can take your groans to glory. I'm a living witness that God can take what was groaning to be glory. But you got to allow yourself. You can't fix what you won't face. And stop pretending like you ain't dealing with life. You got to have a party every weekend because you're lonely. And you don't like dealing with yourself. So you got to have a party. You got to have people around you all the time, because when you get by yourself, you don't like what you see. You don't like who you're dealing with. So I always got to have a party. And the people come to the party, they don't care. They're eating free crawfish. They're just getting free beer. They don't care nothing about what's going on with you. They just want that free stuff. But when they leave, they have all the crawfish and have all the shrimps. They done left you by yourself. And you got to start all over again, miserable, up all night long, won't go to sleep because you don't like yourself. But I dare somebody say, Holy Spirit, heal me. Help me what I'm dealing with. For the first time in my life, I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, search me. Search me. And whatever's not like you, God, I ask that you remove it, and then everything that I need to deal with, will you please help me handle it. I'm tired of creating problems, then adding more to it. All I'm doing is adding more to my heartache. All I'm doing is adding more to my hardship. This ain't about a, you got out of one relationship, but because you don't want to be lonely, you're jumping to something else. Instead of saying, Holy Spirit, help me understand me so that I won't be this destroyed when somebody leave me again. And we're all bitter right now because we didn't let the Holy Spirit help us. Because we thought when I got saved, I wasn't supposed to be dealing with stuff. The devil is a liar. Now we have in church. Because the comforter is present. When you're struggling with stuff, realize that the comforter is present. Secondly, have a commitment to prayer. Make a commitment to prayer. Now, isn't it interesting that our government designated today a national day of prayer? You already declared us in a state of emergency. You already told us, don't live no more. Your life as you know it is over. And then, because it's Sunday, it's a national, but you told me I couldn't go to church. You told me don't go to church. You told me don't touch nobody. You told me don't be around nobody. But then you tell me it's a national day of prayer. That's the world we're living in. That's the society we're living in. You deal with the problem, then you want to seek God. Look what's going on nationally that you and I do individually. It's a reflection of how we live our lives. We handle the problem however we want to out of reaction, and then say, Lord, fix it. Preach all by yourself, boy. We're following suit to what we normally do. Something happened. I don't have all the facts. I make a rash decision. I shut everything down, then say, Lord, let your will be done. Have your way in our life. Have your way in the home. Look over in the nursing home, I can't, because you won't let me go. Everything we're supposed to do as Christians, we've been told we can't do. Amen. But then we're supposed to pray today. You ain't telling me what to pray for. You ain't telling me what to pray about. And with the government we got now, you ain't told me who to pray to. Man, preach, black man. Paul said, and go back in the Bible. The Spirit helps us with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there? When you're really struggling and you don't even have the words. I want to talk to real people. I don't want to talk to no deep folks. I ain't talking about, oh, Lord, am I not? You told me if I need you to call on me. Now, Lord, please say, have mercy. Lord, now. I'm talking about something like, Lord. Has anybody prayer ever stopped with, Lord? I want to talk to real people. I ain't talking to you fake church folk. I want to talk to somebody whose heart been so broken, whose life been so disrupted. All I can say is, Lord. And the reason why many of us don't pray like we should is because we don't know how. Most of us think we got to have the words. You think you got to have the words to say to get to heaven. You're trying to remember what the pastor said. You're trying to remember what the deacon said. Some 12-year-old child praying, Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Where have you been besides the bus stop?
Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way.
Where has he brought you from? Prayer is personal. It is your and God's communication avenue. And your God is so much of a God that he will let you say it however you need to say it. Wait a minute. But what Paul says in verse 26, 27, the B part of 26 and 27, he says, now I told you the Holy Spirit is present, right? He's there to help you with your infirmity. He's there to help you bear it. Then the Holy Spirit is there present to help you talk about it. Missed it. You don't know how powerful the Spirit of God is. Because most of us don't know what to say. Most of us agree, right? There are times in your life you get so hurt, life happens so hard, you don't know what to say to him. We can kind of agree with that, right? Guess what happens? The Holy Spirit ain't just there to help you shout. The Holy Spirit is right there connected to your heart. And the Holy Spirit know what you're saying when you just groan. Wait a minute. You just groaned. You just said, Lord, right? All you said publicly was Lord. Now, we don't know what you mean, but the Holy Spirit say, Lord, what he's trying to say is that he's heartbroken. What he's saying right now, God, that he's down. What he's saying right now, God, that he don't know how to do it. He don't know, but he know you can make a way out of no way. Wait a minute. All I said was Lord, but the Holy Spirit understood it another way because the Holy Spirit was there to help me. Y'all ain't feeling me because y'all keep trying to come up with the words, but the Holy Spirit got the wisdom to know exactly what you feel even when you can't say what you feel. Y'all ain't hearing God. Are y'all starting to see some of the victory that a believer has? That there are words you can't even say. Sometimes your life's so jacked up, you can't find words in a dictionary to communicate what you feel, but the Holy Spirit know what you're going through and how to help you. Wait a minute. And guess what? God go listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is connected to God. Y'all don't know when to tell God thank you. Holy Spirit said it to God. God, go trust the Holy Spirit because God is the one sent the Spirit to you. Wait a minute. And the second reason it's going to bless you is because the Holy Spirit got to be telling the truth because he was helping you when you were dealing with it. So you know for a fact that the Holy Spirit ain't lying because the Holy Spirit was there with you while you dealing with it. Lord, have mercy. That's just your prayer life. That's why I can think on him and the Spirit know what I'm thinking about. That's why I can just say a word and the Holy Spirit know what I'm talking about. I can make a noise and the Holy Spirit know what I'm dealing with. I can just fall out and the Holy Spirit know what I'm talking about. I don't have to have a lot of impressive words. All I need is the Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works.
Amen.
Look at it. So wait a minute. I told you that creation groans, children of God groans, but the Holy Ghost groans too. Because the Holy Ghost got to groan to understand yours. Have you ever had to speak Spanish? Not because that's your normal language, but to adapt to the environment you're in. And the Holy Ghost can groan to adapt to whatever environment we're in. He don't just need English. All he needs is your groan. You better stop waiting till Sunday and pray. You better stop waiting till you find a preacher and pray. You better stop waiting till you find a church folk and pray. You can pray by yourself, because you might not get to the church. You might not get to the preacher. You got the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. Pray like you have lost your mind. You can pray. And you got to trust him. Here it is. Because you and I aren't intelligent enough to know what to pray all the time. Can I help you again? Can I help you again? God go answer because the Spirit say yeah. Then God go answer because the Holy Spirit is helping you with it. And then, this is why I really go shout. Y'all ain't though. But I really go shout. Then God got the Holy Spirit to help you pray sometime when you pray the wrong thing. Come on, man, tell me the truth on a Sunday morning. There are some times you pray stuff you ain't had no business praying. Some stuff you prayed was not God's will, but the Holy Ghost intercepted something from going to heaven, because if we'd have got to heaven, we'd have been in trouble. Don't make me prove y'all. Have you ever said and had bad thoughts and talked to God about it, and the Holy Spirit say, "Watch, wait a minute. That ain't God's will. You stop being like that. You stop being ugly like that. It ain't them, that's you. Maybe you just malicious. Maybe you in your feelings. Don't be praying nothing like that. Prayer's too powerful for you to be doing something like that. Don't use me for something like that." And the Holy Ghost will say, "Lord, don't pay him no attention. He ain't mean that." Because with the power in you, if not for the Holy Spirit, God hear your prayer. And God would do what you ask. But thank God for his Spirit that makes sure that everything is done is in his will. You may have written a letter to someone, right? And you write the letter in an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. But in order to get it in the mailbox, you got to fold it up and put it in a letter so it can fit what it needs to fit to get to the sender. The Holy Spirit goes through it and makes sure some stuff ain't right, get it out of there, folds it up and put it where it's fit enough to be sent. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. So, let's tell the truth. Many of us are frustrated with prayer because we didn't get what we prayed for. That's facts. That's facts. Some of us don't pray like we should or used to because what I prayed for didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. Tell the truth, let the Lord help you today. Stop pretending as though everything you wanted is the same thing God wanted. I'm going to try one more time. Everything you prayed was maybe what you wanted, but not always what God wanted. And we're upset about our prayers because it didn't happen the way I figured it should happen. He didn't do it the way I thought he would do it. But you said if I pray anything, it'll come to pass. You missed something. He said if you pray anything according to his will, he'll do it. Now, here's our problem. You can't know his will unless you know his word. Are you starting to see why our country messed up? Why our town is messed up? Because too many people are praying, they driving and ain't got no license. You're praying and ain't got no word. I argue that some of the weapons of mass destruction are not a bomb, but these prayers without word. Because we're putting some powerful stuff in the atmosphere and don't know where it comes from or how to get it. Don't play with your prayers. And make sure that you got word to back up what you're praying. Pray, if you pray according to the word, you ain't got to worry about it being his will. But I can't know his will unless I know his word. That's why old folks, I see tomorrow if it's the Lord's will. Because if it ain't the Lord's will, I ain't going to see you tomorrow. Okay? So you got to understand about the Lord's will. And when you're praying certain things. Now, you living according to God's will, you can ask for all kind of stuff because everything you ask is because you're in his will. And when you're in his will, everything you want going to be in. But if you're not in his will, how dare you ask for stuff in his will and you ain't in it? Let me get out of here. Well, when you're struggling with stuff, you got to know that the Comforter is present. You got to have a commitment to prayer, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you. All right? And then lastly, you got to be confident in providence. You got to be confident in providence. Providence is the hand of God. Providence is the plan of God. Providence is saying no matter what happens to me, it's all going to be according to the purpose and plan of God. God does not have extra parts in the assembly bag. Y'all know when y'all assembling stuff you don't want to use it because you don't know what to do with it? You got extra screws, extra stuff like that because you just don't know where to go, so you just make it anyway. You got it close enough to the box that's close enough. I don't know what this extra stuff for, but I put it somewhere in the cupboard there and I use it later on. I put it on Shay Shay bike next for Christmas. Because you don't have a clue what it's for. You don't even know what it is, but I just put it because it's extra pieces in the bag. But God has a way of not leaving no extra pieces. He uses everything that comes along with you for the good. All things. Wait a minute. Paul says, but you guys, we got to know. You've got to know. Somebody say no. You got to, this ain't wishing here. This ain't hoping. You got to know that all things work together for good. Hear me now. It does not mean that all good things are working. Have mercy, because this is where we messed up in Christianity. We keep thinking everything's supposed to be good that's working, and the stuff that's bad ain't working. Your God's so powerful, providence is so amazing in your life that even the bad stuff that happened is still working for good. Missed it. And we know that some things, all things, work together for good. Wait a minute. There's a piano right there. There's a keyboard right there. You got some notes that are flats. You got some notes that are sharps. Individually, they ain't working too good. Don't sound too good. But when you bring them together, it makes beautiful music. Yeah. Missed it. God has a way of taking whatever is good, whatever is not good, bring it all together for your good. So what you can tell yourself, even when you're dealing with tough circumstances, it's working. God's working something. He's doing, this is going to be used for my testimony. See, some stuff is good, I got to say thank you. Then some stuff I use, I got to say thank you. You missed it. Because some bad stuff happened, it's part of your testimony. It's going to say what God brought you from. It's what God brought you out of. So stop running from life. You can't just have good times. You got to learn how to deal with the difficult times as well, because it's all working to make you a better believer. Now, here's the issue. How do I keep my sanity knowing all things are working? Because you've been praying in his will. Stop taking one point and leaving it. Start putting your life together what God is telling you, and it'll make more sense to you. Because the Holy Spirit is present, and because you're praying correctly, you can handle life circumstances. But if you're not praying, everything throw you off. everything is it's the end of the world, sky is falling. Because we only pray when something happens. In all things, give thanks, pray without ceasing. Y'all with me? And we know that all things work together for good to them. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This means, now I gave you one part of it, but it's the second part to it. Can I teach y'all just for a moment? Because I don't want to shout you. I want to shape you. It's all working together for good, even when it's not your good.
Amen, brother.
Ultimately, the good is being worked out. It's for God.
Amen.
Watch it, watch it. All things are working together for good to them. I'm in the Bible. And because it's going to him, because it's for him, he's going to deposit it to me. Lord have mercy. This is why I like to take the Bible and show y'all. Because we use a lot of catchphrases and stuff that sound good. And it is good. It's great news. But you got to say it right. I got to make sure that all things work for good for him. And as long as he get glory, he ain't got no problem giving it back to me. Now, here's something. Here's the only bad news of the message. To them. That's the only bad news of the message. Only bad news. Only bad news. Only bad news is to them. That one word got us in trouble here. That's where the line of demarcation is to them. It's to them. Somebody say them. All right? All you can do is make sure to them is me. Because if he put this pronoun here, he did not say, he said all things are working together for good, not to all, to them. This word ain't for everybody. Because some of these folks that's got stuff working don't love the Lord. They ain't saved. And unbelievers can't expect all things to work together for their good. Teach, man, teach. Unbelievers, you don't believe God, you can be in church. But you don't believe God, it ain't working out for you. I don't care what you do, I don't care what you say, it ain't going to work out for you. You can go buy it, ain't going to work for you. You can hustle, it ain't going to work for you. Until you make the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, until you get saved, it ain't going to work for your good. Them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. In other words, to those that he gave a message of salvation to, he called them and you answered. And you answered because you love him. That means that you better make very sure today. Today would be a mighty good day to make sure that you answer for the right reason. Make sure that when you answer because you love him and you understand his purpose was for you to be saved. Make sure that you ain't answer because you ain't got to a certain age. Make sure you didn't answer so you can get in the baptism pool. Make sure you ain't answer so you can be on the usher board. Make sure you answer because you know you sin sick and you need to be saved. And if you can say that, oh, thank you, Lord, for breaking this word down today. Because we be lost on catchphrases. We lost on feeling good. And y'all need some Bible doctrine. And a lot of us in this room right now in church, but we ain't in Christ. Now, if we had 255 people, we couldn't meet. Would you still be in Christ without being in a building? What are you when you're not here? Are you in Christ? There's a word for you when you're struggling with stuff. Life has a way of doing some amazing things to you. But if you can carry these principles, you can still give God glory. No matter what. So here is the test. Here is the test. If I believe and I know I'm saved, y'all claim you are. It ain't my business. You say you saved. All I can do is take you at your word. But the Lord knows. And the Spirit knows, because the Spirit come knocking, and he ain't coming to people who didn't invite him. Here's the test. If you're dealing with a storm in your life, but it hadn't stopped you from producing, it's a strong possibility you're saved. Wait a minute, for y'all clap too much. I mean, even when you're dealing with life's pain and you're crying, it hurts, you feel it, but you're still consistent in your stewardship to the Lord. That means you ain't done quit church. That means you ain't partnered with God. That means you're still praying. That means you're still reading the word. You're still being active in ministry. Now, if you can say those things, oh, man, it's all working for your good. But if every time somebody steps on your toe, I quit. I ain't. Every time you get a disagreement, y'all don't want me here. I'm leaving. I ain't gonna be at this church. Every time life circumstance, oh man, I want to go play kickball. I ain't come to church. So some stuff, what I'm trying to tell you as your pastor, some stuff ain't going to work for your good unless you're on the right side. And don't get mad at God when some stuff ain't working together. Because God causes all to work together. It don't work together naturally. But when you're in God's will, it's all going to work together. Who am I talking to trying to make stuff that's not God's will work into his will? And you're frustrated because he won't change his mind. And if God ain't changed the rule for us, he ain't going to change the rule for you. All for Jesus to you now. Offer him to you. My brother, my sister, I want you to make sure you're saved today. Because you can't get the word, this kind of word, unless you're saved. You won't be inspired until you've been invited. And until they accept the invitation to be saved. I don't care about you preaching, singing. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I'm talking about you being saved. And if obviously you can see as inconsistent and as troubling and as uncertain as the time we're in now, you mean tell me you don't want to make sure you saved? When your very way of life is being compromised as we speak, you mean tell me you still don't want to make, take? You mean tell me you don't want to make up your mind to be saved? That's how serious it is. And I will not back down or apologize. Because if you're grown enough and smart enough to do some silly stuff, you're smart enough to hear God. And I'm not going to make excuses for these young people no more. And y'all ain't going to make them no more. Acting stupid all the time. We're more than that. Take your soul serious. Take your soul serious. Taking God as a joke because you're young. You ain't gonna get the same time some of us got. How dare you turn your back when God is saying a word? You turn your back and start playing.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month. 6 o'clock midweek service and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
He's a wonder in my
soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.